Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt on Podcast One.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
On September 3rd, 1990, Betty Jones and Catherine Krigler were raped and murdered in an unsolved case known as the Labor Day Murders.
You sure you really want to hear?
I do.
This is as bad as it gets.
There was so much blood that it soaked through the carpet.
I never understood how scary it was, that sense of being trapped.
Now more than ever, I want to help solve the murder of my beloved grandmother, Mama Betty. Listen to Knock Knock now on Podcast One, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Corolla Digital. This is Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagus and Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on a church. We're going to mandate. Get it on. And welcome to the best and fastest half hour or hour or 47 minutes in the universe. Yeah, I'm Adam Carolla. That's Mark Hardout
Garagus. Hardout Garagus, exactly.
Although, taking care of business.
Well, that's what we do. In fact, you walked in. I was blocking poor Gina in the parking lot as I was on the phone, and you were kind enough to kind of wake me out of my radio stupor.
She was trying a 12-point maneuver to get out of the parking spot, which for me would have been a 6-point maneuver, but Gina's at the helm, so she was trying not to disturb you, because we always assume you're in the middle of something important.
I was in the middle, unfortunately. In fact, it reminds me, remember I told you the story about Tenny and me in the alley behind the engine company the other day, and I'm not paying attention. I'm on the phone. I'm talking to somebody, doing like I usually do. And next thing I know, Tenny is saying, Dad. And there's some guy who's obviously in mental distress beating the car with his bicycle. And she had just said, how come, you never get attacked here? What I was on the phone doing, I was talking with the guys over at KFI 640 about this case that we filed that's now been removed to federal court, where Gabe Dene was tragically killed by a mentally ill transient in Beverly Grove. And they were asking the question, do you lay it at the feet of Gascon? And I said, no, I actually don't. I said, mea culpa myself, because I lay the downward trend of downtown L.A., the city of L.A., if you will. It's not just downtown. I mean, because it could be Venice, it could be downtown. This is in Beverly Grove. You can chart it to the mayoral reign of Garcetti. And the reason
is
I
Beverly
say
Grove culpa, near the Beverly Center?
Yeah, I would say probably between Beverly Grove, Venice, and the Beverly Center, you're kind of in that area that's
a nice part of town.
Yeah, I mean, was. In fact, there's the El Segundo Times in their article about this quoted a couple of people who live there, who they interviewed, as saying, used to be you could go out at night. Now you can't. The encampments have taken over that sporting goods store that you've probably been by. I forget the name of it.
Well, in that area. Just to encapsulate, what we first thought of as, the face of homelessness, the mother of three, and she lost her job at the bookbinding place, and now she's out on the street with her cubs, It's pretty much exclusively people that are out of their gourd on fentanyl at this point, and seemingly getting more agitated as the months turn into years. How long could one be on the street and be addled by drugs before one started going into psychoses and seeing things and perceiving dangers? And So we've all seen the homeless person that's just sort of ranting, walking up and down the street. Dr. Drew's talked about it. Those people are getting into speed. Speed kills, was the adage. And the meth and the speed and the fentanyl and the fact that these guys have to have protection because they're living on the street, so they need a knife or machete or some sort of implement to protect themselves. And now they're just sort of wandering around, and we're supposed to sort of pass by them with our kid or our dog, pretending they might not just turn. I mean, it's sort of, by definition, these aren't mafia contracts where you put a hit on the opposition's don. These are just rando, volatile, impulsive, crazed people that are beaked out of their brain on drugs that could just stab you in the neck when you walk past them for no good reason.
This was four separate calls to 911 within the span of hours. The cops come out, say nothing wrong, go back into your house. He goes into his house, into the house, and he finds this guy, Eunuch Connor.
Your deceased client.
My client, Gabe, goes into the house, confronts this guy, Connors, who's taking a couple of knives, as you mentioned, from the kitchen, presumably, and starts stabbing him, chases him, and Gabe tragically dies in the backyard. And, you know, the police response is, well, what are we going to do, you know?
But it really falls in the lap of the mayor who let this thing go, where we go, this guy's a street criminal or street thug, but these guys are actually legitimately street criminals. They live on the street. At least when you're talking about the gangbangers, they go home at some point.
To their territory.
Right.
Which is part of, and they're very territorial. This has, and we have done a massive disservice. Instead of dealing head on with the problem, we have said, we've couched it in terms of it's housing. It's all housing.
Right.
Which is a crock. It's not all housing. And I was just saying also, at least in New York, the mayor there has come up with at least an attempt at a solution. Send out a squad that includes one police, one mental health professional, one hospital-type social worker, and give the person a choice. You want to go to jail, you want to go to the hospital, or you want to be housed, if appropriate.
So who's exposed potentially in this? Is it LAPD?
LAPD is where we're going to start, but I plan on taking – I hopefully get past – all the statutory immunities, all of the usual stuff that they do. I mean, they've already removed it to federal court because they always feel like, the city always feels like, that's where they'll get their protection. Then we'll have a series of motions that they will come at us and say, we're immune, we didn't do anything wrong. But then if we get past that, we'll get through discovery and we'll see internally, document-wise, exactly what they're doing, what they knew, and when they knew it.
There'll be in discovery this guy being booked for aggravated assault, and then some memo of them saying this guy's dangerous, and someone else going, let him out, what are you going to do? And then that's what you find in discovery.
It's always what happens and why they fight tooth and nail to not let you get at that, because there's, you know, obviously LAPD serves kind of at the behest. It's the mayor's police force, basically. Mm-hmm. It always has been in L.A., it's the city of L.A. And so that it's from the top. That's why I always blame the mayor when when the city of L.A. goes to hell. It's ultimately the mayor's responsibility.
Well, Garcetti's terming out, right?
Right. But, you know, we've got a stark choice here. I mean, Karen Bass is wonderful, I suppose. But she's a creature of Washington, D.C. And, you know, she was on the short list for vice president. Rick Caruso, you can kind of lambaste him as this billionaire developer as if that's a bad thing. But I was over at Americana within the last week, and people make fun of it on my side of the aisle.
He developed that.
Yeah, he developed that. He developed the growth. But you know what? I would take young kids there.
Right.
I certainly would not take young kids to Venice Beach 6 months ago, would you?
No, I know. picket fence and a lawn and a dog, and we all sort of, all the hipsters scoff at it. But, you know, you could claim the same about Broadway and New York and Times Square. It's like, you couldn't go down there. It was dicey. It was dangerous. It was whatever. It also had a lot of culture. I mean, with that comes a lot of culture, and there's no Disney or M&M store or whatever. But ultimately, you want to take your kids out. You'd like to go to a place and not look over your shoulder.
Right. You don't want to have to worry about, you know, some guy who, as you say, is beaked out. And by the way, I get it. I mean, we have abandoned the mentally ill, but why do we abandon them on the streets? I don't know. That just seems to me to be bass-ackwards at a certain point.
Karen bass-ackwards.
Hey, boy, you are quick today, aren't you? Mudwater. You know this?
Oh, yeah.
Whole 30 approved, right, Gary? Coffee alternative has 4 adaptogenic mushrooms and Ayurvedic herbs, 1/7 the caffeine of a cup of coffee, energy without the anxiety, jitters, or crash. Each ingredient serves a purpose. There's cacao and chai for a microdose of caffeine, lion's mane for alertness. I could use some lion's mane, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Turmeric for soreness, cinnamon for antioxidants, and more. I had some mud water. Tenny gave it to me. She loves it because it's Whole 30 approved, 100% USDA, organic, non-GMO, gluten-free, vegan, and kosher certified. Mud water lets you build a morning ritual that promotes sustained energy without the crash. Go to Mud Water. Now, that's, remember how to spell it. MUDWTR.com/doubt to support the show and use the code. You know what our code is? Doubt for 15% off. I love the fact that our code is exactly what I try to create.
So what else is going on
so
in the legal world?
There's quite a bit in the legal world. I mean, it's been a week in the U.S. Supreme Court. Paul Clement, interestingly enough, is the lawyer. Everybody's been talking Roe versus Wade and the NRA case. The NRA case was Paul Clement, former Solicitor General, I believe. He also was the appellate litigator who argued the praying coach case.
Mm-hmm.
And Kirkland and Ellis, who is his law firm, basically asked him to leave because of his clients.
Really?
Yeah. And I had sent Gary something where there's, you know, I can appreciate the fact that in fact, one wag told me it's interesting that the law firm waited until after they had collected all of the fees and the case was decided. And then they said, OK, we don't want you to have that client anymore after the decision was rendered.
My feeling with a lot of this stuff is pick your battle. So Roe v. Wade, there's a battle. And there's a battle of pick. And then there is the NRA or gun lobby or Smith & Wesson or something. Okay, there's a battle of pick. High school football coach praying at the 50-yard line, keep fucking walking. It's just not a thing.
Well,
nobody cares. And the country doesn't agree with you on this one.
This one is interesting. I sent to Gary. Gary, do you have the opinion itself? So Justice Sotomayor wrote the dissent. And she did something that I thought was interesting. In the dissent, she's basically, there was a Gorsuch versus her in terms of the facts of this case. She actually embedded pictures in her dissent.
Hmm.
In the opinion itself.
But philosophically, like, I do understand many cases, and you go, all right, the Supreme Court judges.
There you go. Here are the pictures.
But is the picture because there's too large a gathering of people praying?
Yeah, and I suppose she's trying to make the argument that it was coercive in terms of this was involuntary. Here are the pictures. Take a look. The opposite team was invited to pray as well. And
everyone's invited. They do it after NFL games all the time.
Or touchdowns.
I do it over touchdowns. Well, they after NFL games, they don't really put it on the Fox feed, but there is a handful of players, and they'll take a knee, and it's always kind of bipartisan, a few guys from that team and a few guys from the other team, and they just get in a circle, and they do a prayer. And it's okay at the NFL level. I don't know if this is not okay because it's school. I know they're talking about church and state. It's just there's so much to do about nothing in this particular case, unless you can prove some sort of thing where, well, he said his quarterback wasn't going to start if he didn't join me in the prayer, so he put him on the bench because he's an atheist or something. You know, if you can find that aspect of it.
Well, that's why something. This got there. I mean, they basically, this coach was banished, left. I think he ended up going out of state for another job, right, Gary?
Yeah, when he started, he did this once. There was a little backlash, so he stopped for a while, and then he announced he was going to do it. 3 games later, they placed him on administrative leave, and then they didn't renew his contract.
Yeah, all so right. When you start taking job actions, that's what I never understand. Why go there? Why, you know, give him a prayer area or something like that? You know, I was thinking about it. I just came here. I was in court this morning. I went to a funeral just now, and I was just thinking about, you know, one of the great things about religion, whether you're an atheist, an agnostic, or you believe, one of the great things about it is the ritual. There is something to the ritual. I mean, I hate to put on my anthropologist hat, but the ritual is something that is ingrained in the kind of cultural DNA of humans. And so if somebody wants that, or it gives them meaning or solace or spirituality, why do you have such a problem with it?
Well, it's the part that sort of scares me about this is like Sotomayor, right? So they're talking, I don't know, 9 months ago about masks and work, and can you fire somebody for not wearing a mask or not being vaccinated or whatever it is. She then gets up there and spouts a ton of bullshit about how many kids are hospitalized and whatever. She's fucking way wrong on all of her data, which I would argue you don't have to do it, but you must have an assistant.
You've somebody, got the pick of the best clerks in the world.
Get a clerk to crunch a few numbers for you, bitch, so you don't seem like a fucking crackpot when all these false numbers are leaving your mouth. But bigger picture. Why does everything have to be broken up into sides? I'm an atheist, and if I was on the Supreme Court and you said this guy kneeled, I'd go, does he force other people to kneel? And they'd go, no, he does it himself, and sometimes people join him. And I'd go, all right, next. We're busy.
I like your question. Did he bench somebody because they didn't kneel with him?
Then I'd go, no, and then I'd go, you can't fire. I wouldn't write a dissent because somehow religious people are considered the other side. Now.
Well, that was, look, the only cases, for whatever you say about Gorsuch, the only guy who was willing to point out the hypocrisy of what was happening during COVID, secular versus religious, was Gorsuch. And, right. And you know, you can demonize him all you want, and certainly I understand it on some of his decisions, but he at least points out at certain points the kind of hypocrisy that you're talking about.
And then you fucking turn on CNN and they're like, oh, these are dark days for America. And I'm like, okay. Oh, shut up, bitch. Anything. This is a high school football coach prank.
Okay, Gary, I've been sending Gary things because it's driving me crazy, the discussions that are being had. Gary, there's one with Tubin that, did I send it to you? I thought I did. And I was watching, oh, yeah, here it is.
Jeffrey slapping the tubing? All right, let's see. Is he very upset over this? All right, we'll play that.
No, he's the opposite.
Same about,
oh, good.
Interracial marriage.
Well, you know, look, let's not be coy about that. Everybody knows he's involved. He's married to a white woman, and so some people think, oh, he's not talking about Loving versus Virginia, which is the interracial case. You know, in his defense, that case was also about privacy, like the abortion cases, but it also had a racial dimension, which makes it a somewhat different substantive
which
due
is,
process.
I know that he considers himself a constitutional law expert. Dead wrong.
Really?
Absolute dead wrong. Loving versus Virginia is absolutely in the same line of cases. And you say, well, why would Tubin be taking this kind of contrary position? Because his access to the Supreme Court, he can't step on anybody because he's written about the Supreme Court. He counts on that. He does, you know, that's been kind of his calling card. He's absolutely dead wrong on Loving versus Virginia. Go on, Gary, because it gets even better.
He still didn't mention it.
I'm trying to be fair here, John.
You know, he's not trying to be fair.
Was this a couple of years before Roe? I mean, I'm just saying.
It was a conspicuous absence, but yeah. You could articulate a reason why it's different.
No, you can't. And then it gets even better. Do you have the...
So Don was calling him out a little bit there.
Don did call him out because it's bullshit. I mean, there's no way you can talk about gay marriage and you can say... that is different. There's a different aspect to it because it does, as opposed to interracial marriage. You just can't read the opinions. It's bullshit. Gary, the other one that was just I know this is like throwing red meat to Adam, but the Kamala Harris interview?
Mm.
We have two clips ready from that.
Okay. Because
what would you like first, inflation or...
I think the inflation just stands on its own. I mean, it's almost this is just such a softball to you.
She's sitting down with
now
Dana.
Inflation is really high. Are you concerned about a recession? The administration said that they weren't that worried about about inflation, and then that changed.
I think that there can be no higher priority than what we have been clear is our highest priority, which is bringing down the cost and the prices as much as we possibly can. And we will stay focused on it.
Yeah, the reason she drives me nuts is because when the words, "I'm going to choose a woman of color to be vice president," left Joe Biden's mouth, I scream, just fucking get someone who knows what they're doing in that position. I don't want the affirmative action hire. I don't mind it if it's the greeter at the Walmart. I don't want it to be someone who's a heartbeat away from the presidency. And in Joe Biden's case, maybe half a heartbeat away from the presidency. And he chose someone who, all I can say about her is there's something wrong with her.
Well, I'm going to come back to that in a second. First, we're going to – that was a good tease by you,
yes,
by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah. Backbone, B-O-N-E. Level up your game with Backbone. It instantly plays hundreds of games on your iPhone, no console required. Backbone transforms your iPhone into a handheld console so you can play anywhere, anytime. Just connect your iPhone to Backbone. Enjoy console quality controls with responsive buttons and triggers, clickable analog sticks, and more. Right, Gary?
Yeah, I mean, it's just this device. You shove your iPhone in the middle, and then you've got these great controllers that are very similar to what you would play with at home on a console, and you've got this giant screen that your phone, you know, has evolved to over the years right in the middle. So it's like you're playing a console game right in your hands anywhere. It's a great way to kill time if you're waiting for a train or something like that.
Oh, and all the delays at the airport.
Exactly.
Bring it with you.
So you can stream hundreds of games like FIFA, Halo, Minecraft through cloud gaming services like Xbox, Game Pass, NVIDIA, GeForce Now, and Google Stadia. TechCrunch calls it the closest we've ever seen to a portable Xbox. Right, Gary?
That's right. Go to playbackbone.com/doubt now to order your Backbone until June 30th and get free access to over 350 console games and perks, including 1 month free of Xbox Game Pass Ultimate or 1 month free of Apple Arcade, 2 months free of Google Stadia Pro, and 3 months free of Discord Nitro. Find your next adventure at playbackbone.com/doubt.
So this is what bothers me. I know, or I believe, that she is smarter than this. I've watched her cross-examine. I've watched her in Senate hearings. And I don't understand this. The way she describes stuff, like that last little thing where it was basically, you know, what we're going to do is we're going to bring down prices. Oh, really? I mean, talk about a cliche. Then the next one, I'll show you. I think it's more a product of not being prepared. And not and that goes to your Sotomayor criticism.
This is a lot that I've run into. I mean, I kind of have the same feelings about Gavin Newsom. He's not dumb, So these people are educated. Like, number one, they're just educated. And, you know, I love the welders in life, but they're not great raconteurs oftentimes. People who tend to be educated can tend to speak extemporaneously and do a better job at it. Then you get into sort of the next echelon if they worked as prosecutors or they worked as DAs or they were, you know, vice mayor of this town or that town. And you're like, now you're educated and you have all these reps. Repetition reps.
Right, so
if
you've
been at the lectern and the dais and you've greeted and you've taken questions from the throngs. And so once one does that, then one strengthens a muscle. You're very good on your feet because you're on your feet all the time.
Constantly.
Your profession requires it. I have that because I'm on my feet all the time. Why doesn't Kamala have more of that, given her pedigree of high education and lots of experience?
I've never seen anything like she just doesn't resemble to me even the way she was as a senator or as an AG. I just don't get it. And all I can think of is that the people she surrounds herself with are not the best and the brightest, because I don't get – Gary, play the other one.
But, I mean, like, look, she went down. She talked to Lester Holt about the border. The first thing out of Lester Holt's mouth is, have you been to the border? That should have been put up on a poster board in her office. And you have prepped many a person who's going to be deposed, many a person that's going to take the stand. You then start asking questions. Have you been to the border? And they, you know, what's a border? Okay, don't say that.
Right.
Say, I have. It's been a while. I'm planning. You'd have to talk to my office, but we definitely have plans on getting to the border. And then some other stuff about I understand what's going on in the border because I'm in close contact with many people who are working the border and ICE officials that I spoke to right before I came to do this interview who gave me an update on, you know, not, I've been, you haven't been. Well, yeah, well, so what's your point? I mean, if you prepped one of your guys to go up on the stand and you knew what the question was going to be in advance, and one of them's going to be the border, have you been, or whatever it is, or what's going on with the economy and inflation, you would prep the shit out of those people. And if you were sitting in the back of that courtroom, you would break a pencil if they gave answers. Like
I can tell you, when you go and you're doing a sit-down, what are the questions you're going to get? You're going to get inflation. You're going to get abortion. You're going to get, as you say, the border. You're going to get probably, she's an ex-prosecutor, both DA and AG. You're going to get crime.
Right.
So, you know, Gary, play the next one, because this to me is, I don't understand it.
I think that what is most important right now is that we ensure that the restrictions that the states are trying to put up that would prohibit a woman from exercising what we still maintain is her right, that we do everything we can to empower women to not only seek, but to receive the care where it is available.
Is federal land one of those options?
I mean, it's not right now what we are discussing, but I will say that when I think about what is happening in terms of the states, we have to also recognize, Dana, that we are 130-odd days away from an election, which is going to include Senate races, right? Part of the issue here is that the court has acted, now Congress needs to act. But we, if you count the votes, don't appear to have the votes in the Senate. Well, there's an election happening in 130-odd days.
Okay. You know what was what she didn't have an answer for, and I give Dana no credit for not following up. Okay, why are we talking about shipping people, women, cross borders, doing whatever else? You could do one simple thing. Tell me why you can't just turn federal land or federal facilities into abortion-free zones. Why? Answer that question for me. Why are we talking about an election in 130 days? You have federal property in virtually every state that you could convert immediately if you were serious about this issue.
Would it be sort of akin to an Indian casino where you just went whatever the laws of the land, a.k.a. no gambling, doesn't exist, or dropping peyote or whatever you're doing. It just doesn't exist on this, because this is sort of sovereign federal land.
Correct. And so then is somebody going to sue in state court to prohibit the feds? That's never going to work. So right. What's going to end up happening? There is a legitimate issue. You don't punt it to or use it as a – and by the way, and I'll give a little more unsolicited advice. I saw another interview where some young woman who was being protesting about the abortion ruling said, you know, the Democrats have been – had 50 years – to codify this, meaning they could have passed this in legislation. They knew that the Republicans had created this issue, that this was an issue they were going to campaign on, was going to fire up the base. And the Democrats, including right now, hold both houses and the presidency. Why haven't they codified it if this was an important issue? It reminds me of what a lot of African Americans say about why do you take our votes for granted, yet not do anything. It also, you know, you're starting to see there was the recent election where a Hispanic woman flipped a Texas congressional district to the Republicans, and then accused Nancy Pelosi of elbowing her daughter on stage. But
I think the Giuliani attack on his spine was probably more vigorous than the elbow. But what she did is just made her look sort of like Cruella DeVille.
There was much ado about nothing. But. I know. It reminded me of that scene that's in my head of Trump at his G7 or G20 kind of pushing one of the guys aside or something. But you get a lot of that.
Remember that weird Trump story, like, back when everyone had Trump derangement syndrome, when he went to like Haiti or something for the flood, and he threw a roll of paper towels to someone, and CNN was like, breaking news, Trump attacks villager with paper towels. Like, he's just
throwing the rolls.
He threw a roll of toilet paper to somebody.
At Big Three games, they do that. They shoot the T-shirts out at the crowd, right?
Yeah, I'm just saying, wait for something. Remember those days?
I do remember those days because we saw it again today. I was sent something to Gary today. You know, the January 6th hearings are on, and there's the Mark Meadows aide. Here she is playing.
Once the president had gotten into the vehicle with Bobby, he thought that they were going up to the Capitol. And when Bobby had relayed to him, we're not. We don't have the assets to do it. It's not secure. We're going back to the West Wing. The president had very strong, a very angry response to that. Tony described him as being irate. The president said something to the effect of, I'm the effing president, take me up to the Capitol now. To which Bobby responded, sir, we have to go back to the West Wing. The president reached up towards the front of the vehicle to grab at the steering wheel. Mr. Engel grabbed his arm, said, sir, you need to take your hand off the steering wheel. We're going back to the West Wing. We're not going to the Capitol. Mr. Trump then used his free hand to lunge towards Bobby Engel. And when Mr. Renato had recounted this story to me, he had motioned towards his clavicles.
Okay.
She pluralized clavicle.
Gary.
That's
Gary's,
Cassidy Hutchinson.
I've taught Gary well because Gary's first response is, I'm not buying this. And my first response is, you know, when you can disagree like I do with a lot of the right, but when you have a hearing and you have somebody tell a story like that, wouldn't you want to see that a cross-examination of that?
That's where Jim Jordan comes in.
That story begs for a cross-examination.
Yes, and that's kind of the problem because they sort of took the dissenters and they told them to hit the bricks, and there's nobody who's going to push on that. I asked Gary to check it out before the show. You know,
the same thing?
The limo. It's the armored limo.
Right.
And
do you have the same problem that I do?
I've not seen the inside of it. I don't know how, you know, he's not riding shotgun. He's definitely in the back of the limo. But she's sort of describing that he's reaching through the partition and going to grab the wheel, or she said he had his hand on the wheel.
I have,
that seems physically impossible.
I will confess to, at various times in my life, being driven around, not in this type of a vehicle, but a vehicle with a partition, mm-hmm. and having a, and being driven. Mm-hmm. I can tell you, based on the kind of B-level or C-level automobiles I've had, that what she just described is impossible.
I don't know that the partition goes up and goes down. I don't know. I mean, maybe Gary can read it. We're looking at the...
There's no real definitive information that I've been able to find. However, there are several images like this, and they all certainly seem to suggest that the driver's cabin can be isolated in case of an emergency so that it is cut off from the rest of the car.
Right.
So, well,
do you think that they would try to cut it off when the president is in a high state of alarm and is grabbing at the steering wheel?
Well, one would think it's their duty to keep the car and the driver safe so that he doesn't injure the president. That's their whole purpose.
I believe the part where Trump wanted to go to the Capitol.
No doubt.
The part where he called the guy a fuckstick and said, do what I say.
I'm with
that,
you.
That all comports all with reality.
Of that, right. All of that is true. Do you buy that he grabbed the steering
wheel? No. But that's where we're at now. Crazy chicks giving us their version of life, everybody. So,
and by the way, I'm pretty sure that the first questions on cross would be, were you in the car?
Right.
No, you weren't. Oh, the way you've described it, I for a second thought you were in the car.
Right.
Oh, did you hear this from somebody?
Right.
Oh, who did you hear it from? Oh, when did you hear it?
Mm-hmm.
Did you test whether or not they had heard it or were in the car, or did they hear it from yet another person?
And here's some other things that person said about Trump that I'm not sure you're aware of, but he called him a dickwad at some point and a threat to democracy. So maybe he's not a fan.
Yeah, maybe there's a little bit of I don't know. I just – but it doesn't – you know, look at this.
We're going to
– I just – if you're going to do the presentation, which is great, I'm all for it, at least attempt to make it like something that's not theater.
I'll tease this one, but it came up on my podcast, the Ghislaine Maxwell.
She got
sentenced. And the question is, where's her little black book, and how come she's not rolling over? And do you start the rolling over after the sentencing or before? I mean, why no leaks? Why no names dropped? What does she know? And when is she going to start saying what she knows if, in fact, she just got, I think, sentenced to 20 years?
Yeah, 240 months, and that was a good tease because I do want to talk about this.
All right. First, I'll tell you about American Hartford Gold. Inflation at a 40-year high. That's right. It's highest since Adam Carolla left high school and could not find a job. So that's how bad it is right now. Interest rates skyrocketing. Experts like J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon predict a recession using terms like economic hurricane. Protect your future like I did. Call American Hartford Gold. They'll help protect your savings and retirement by diversifying your portfolio with physical gold and silver. One short phone call and they'll have physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside your IRA or 401k. Highest rated firm in the country, A+ rating from the BBB and thousands of satisfied clients. Call them right now. Call them now and you can get up to $1,500 of free silver on your first order. Right, Gary?
Call 866-828-8992. That's 866-828-8992. Or text DOUBT to 998899. Again, that's 866-828-8992. Or text DOUBT to 998899.
So
let me – she was sentenced to – Ms. Maxwell was sentenced to – 240 months, as you indicated, 20 years. That's in what's called the heartland of the sentencing guidelines. Sentencing guidelines were like 17 years to 21 years. The prosecution had asked for something 33 to 55 years. The defense had asked for 4 to 5 years.
And the probation department asked for exactly 20.
Yeah. And she gave probation, what probation gave, which it makes perfect sense to me. I did a show earlier today in which it was a Pierce Morgan from London. He had on somebody who hated Ghislaine's father, Robert Maxwell, and was slamming the shit out of her, and that, you know, blah, blah, blah. It was a light sentence. First of all, it's not a light sentence. She's almost 60, if not 60. So this is basically akin to a life sentence. Why hasn't she rolled over? It said the first thing, she's got a whale of an appeal. I mean, remember, this jury was apparently either hung or they were not voting guilty until one of the jurors went into the deliberation room and started talking about his own experiences having been abused. That apparently
was that the guy with the cat or was that somebody else?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Very good.
Cat guy. He's great.
Yeah.
So cat guy apparently swayed a couple of the jurors. That came in. Judge Nathan denied the motion for new trial, sentenced her, but she's got an appeal. And so my belief is that if she wasn't going to cooperate before because she thought she was going to win, why give up your appeal and cooperate now? Wait and let your appeal run. Or while your appeal is running, then you tell the prosecutors, hey, You want to try to make this, you know, because most federal cases are that way. Once somebody rolls on somebody else, somebody cooperates with the government, they've got some information from her, but the document itself would need somebody to corroborate it. So she could probably do that. She could probably tag somebody that some AUSA, Assistant United States Attorney, could make his career on if he prosecuted, but she may not have an incentive to do that quite yet because she has got a legal team that I'm sure is telling her, you've got a better than average for federal criminal defense appeals, which are always a long shot. You've got a better than average shot than most people do as to prevailing on appeal, because how do you get to a point where somebody gives an interview, Kathmandu, and says, you know, until I talked about my experiences, that's what convinced several of the people who were on the fence.
All right. So let me just encapsulate. She undoubtedly has names and a little black book and some form of record of people and names we would probably recognize. And
I think that goes without saying.
And yes, the feds would love to know who those names were because they could make a guy's career because they could be a very high-profile prosecution.
There is a revolving door between the U.S. Attorney's Office and Big Law. And you could go from Big Law to the U.S. Attorney's Office. You win a big case at the U.S. Attorney's Office. You go back to Big Law as a partner and get a signing bonus, and you're in great shape.
Right. So she has that, presumably. She wouldn't play the card because she may just win the case. And why play a card you don't need to play?
That's exactly right. And by the way, you know, it didn't get coverage because it was in federal court. It didn't get the kind of coverage that you would get Depp Heard where it was televised or a Chauvin or something like that. But by all accounts of people in the courtroom, the defense did a masterful job of their theme, which is they didn't have Epstein, because he was dead. This was a prosecution by proxy.
And so she lost this one, but it's a whale of an appeal case, as you said.
Right. And I don't want to exaggerate because appeals in the federal system, you know, it's not like, hey, you win 50-50. It's a small percentage. But of that small percentage, she's got, you know, this is one that you would say you've got a shot. You got a real shot.
So she's incarcerated until the appeal.
Correct.
How far off is the appeal?
I would think within 18 months to 2 years, you could get it heard.
So might she say, I don't want to hang out for 2 years and then flip a coin? I want to start turning now.
But she's been held in a detention center, which is different than a federal prison. The federal prison, she's going to have presumably a much better situation than being at a detention center. They chronicled in their sentencing paperwork the horrific conditions she was at pretrial detention. It's not supposed to be that way. It's supposed to be the opposite. You're supposed to – pretrial detention is supposed to be, you know, a picnic compared to post-conviction. But in reality, it's not the case. So she might say, hey, let me see where I get assigned. Let me see what prison life is like. And I – you know, there are plenty of people who I have encountered, who clients who will say, I didn't do what they said I did. Plus, you go through a trial – and the defendant, you've been accused. And these people become the U.S. attorneys, the prosecutors. They become kind of the enemy. They've attacked you. They've maligned you. They've kind of – most defendants will tell you who've been through it. They've made a caricature of who I am. That's not the – you don't generally kind of rush to go cooperate with somebody that you've got a visceral hatred for.
So in your estimation and experience, she has – names. She has a black book. She's going to see how the appeal goes. And if that doesn't go well, then it's deal cutting time.
Then it would be deal cutting time. Or if somebody tells her, hey, this appeal doesn't look as good at some point, then maybe then you make an overture.
Last subject, well, something Gary said you wanted to get to today, which was Trump's attorney and the FBI serving him with a warrant and taking his phone. I guess.
Yeah, this is infuriating to me because people have, the cheering section for this, I think misses a point. People can make legal arguments, and you can make a legal argument, and whether you think it's ridiculous or not, that's up to a court of appeal or a district court to decide. However, there is the caricature of the argument. You may remember, leading up to the election, I kept talking about with you the fact that there is a constitutional provision for legislatures to send alternates. It's in the Constitution. There is a legal theory. Whether you think it's ridiculous, whether you think it's absurd, there wasn't any real law on the issue. It was convention. And if it had made its way to this U.S. Supreme Court, God knows what the ruling might have been. And that's what they were somewhat counting on. I mean, if you had asked me 3 years ago, if you'd asked me a year ago, did I think the Dobbs case would go as far as it did? And I would have, and I'm a keen observer of the court. I would have said, no way. The Chief Justice Roberts 15-week, I would say the law is fine. I wouldn't overrule Roe or Casey. That would have been the position I would have prognosticated. But the Trump Giuliani, what's been characterized as kind of crazy stakes legal theory, the whole idea of the law is you push the law, you try to expand the law, you've got a client, you zealously defend the client. And that's what he was doing. But this idea now that you're executing a search warrant on a lawyer, and this isn't the first lawyer that they've done it on with Trump. Remember Michael Cohen? Mm-hmm. Remember and somebody who's cooperated in the sense that gave depositions and things of that nature, it's a horrible precedent to set. And just like I have told you during the Mueller investigation, this is reminiscent of exactly what happened during Clinton and Whitewater. You know, you flip the script and you get a Republican House or a Republican Senate. And God forbid in 2024, you've got a different occupant in the White House and they start coming at Democrats this way, you're going to hear a lot of squealing. You're going to when the shoe's on the other foot, so to speak.
Yeah, it just seems like the FBI executes a search warrant against some, you know, we were talking about James O'Keefe, but there's Roger Stone and
Peter Navarro. They pull him out of the airport.
Yeah, it's like every other week, it's somebody, you're going after somebody who's on the other side, and it feels a little weaponization of the DOJ to me, especially when all these people would happily cooperate or turn themselves in or show up wherever.
There isn't one of those guys that if you didn't call up their lawyer and say, bring him down here, the guy wouldn't show up. The one guy I'd make the exception for is the guy who invented the perp walk, which was Rudy Giuliani when he was the U.S. attorney in the Southern District, who used to love to pull guys off the floor, the trading floor, and indict them and perp walk them. I would make an exception for Rudy, but everybody else, they didn't cause it.
Well, he's recovering from his back injury. He was viciously attacked.
Viciously attacked in the back, right?
Grubhub or wherever the hell he was at. All right, let me tell you about Geico. Like, save a little money on your auto insurance? Sure you would. And who doesn't want a deal? When it comes to great rates and insurance at Geico, well, they can help, and they will. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even homeowners, condo, renters coverage as well. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle your coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app, and you can get 24-hour roadside assistance with that as well. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. I'm doing live stand-up and live podcasts. That'll be in Springfield, Missouri. That'll be at the Blue Room Comedy Club coming up July 15th and 16th. You can go to adamcarolla.com for all the live shows. What do you got, Mark?
Well, if you're in the Hamptons, stop by Capri and Naya. There'll be quite a party this weekend, I'm told. V Palm Springs, stop by Gigi's. If you're in San Clemente, what does my father used to say? If you're by the ocean, drop in. And if you're in downtown L.A., Tenney or Engine Company 28.
Hey, Adam, real fast. Just for our video watchers, I see you have a beautiful new book sitting right there that is coming out on July 19th. So let's reveal it to the Reasonable Doubt listeners.
Wow. Sorry.
There's the cover.
Modesty prevents me from
everything reminds
stuff.
Me
will
of
you,
something.
Will you autograph one for me?
Oh, yeah. Are these do
I have to buy it and then bring it in?
We got to talk to Lynch about that. I think the publisher wants them back all signed, but we'll be getting plenty for this building, I promise.
Okay. What are you doing for 4th of July weekend, by the way?
I was trying and thinking. I talked to John Popper from Blues Traveler. I was up at Red Rocks last weekend. I don't know if you've ever been to Red Rocks.
It's gorgeous.
It's magical.
Right.
I've never seen a show there. I just go there, me and Mike hike around, and then I go do shows in Denver that night. Anyway, I was walking through the museum, and I passed the Wall of Fame, and I saw Blues Traveler up there for the Wall of Fame.
Right.
So I called John, and I said, geez, Red Rocks, man, I'd love to see you. And he's like, we're playing on the 4th of July. And then I was like, oh, man, I wonder if I can get back here and figure it out. So I'm trying to figure out whether I'm going to Red Rocks to watch Blues Traveler or, I don't know, Malibu, hang in. What are you doing?
I haven't decided yet. I'm on baby watch, so we'll see what happens.
Well, we'll keep us posted. Until next time, Sam Kroll for Mark Garagos saying mahalo.
Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt. Tune in next Saturday for an all-new episode. This is Corolla Digital.
Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, Geico can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance. They are all covered with Geico. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to Geico. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote or contact a local agent.
All this month, stream the funniest films for free on Pluto TV. Watch comedy classics like Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, and Mean Girls. Or drop in for a Tyler Perry marathon with a Madea family funeral and Madea's witness protection. Pluto TV also has hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows like Get Shorty, Be Cool, Key and Peele, Comedy in Color, and more. And no contracts, no subscriptions, no fees, no joke. So download the Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start laughing today. Pluto TV, drop in, watch free.